It is very good to be here this morning, and we appreciate the invitation to come and be with you. It's always very pleasant to come to Christian Heritage, and we just thank Pastor Pat and Sister Yvonne for being here, pastoring, being faithful. We appreciate them and their work. We appreciate all of you. I recognize a few faces, but I see some new ones to me, and it's very nice to meet you. You, in my mind, are all brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's just nice to always meet new brothers and sisters. We're going to soon be in heaven with the Lord and with each other. You know, we've been over in Mozambique and didn't have internet, but when we came back, we made the discovery that a friend of mine who I have known for probably 60 or very near 60 years just suddenly passed away Friday. And that's the way it's going to be with some of us. Some of us, I had another friend who passed away Thursday. He had been sick for a long time, but he knew the Lord, both of them. And if the Lord should tarry, we're all going to go that way. So I want to encourage you to be ready, but I want to encourage you too. All you're doing is leaving this world and going to be with the Lord, so don't let that bother you. Just stay ready to meet the Lord at any time. I don't suppose that I need to draw to your attention that the world has radically worsened in the last 2 or 3 years. You know, I think about my father who passed away 30 years ago. It's not even the same world at all. If he came back here, he would be stunned by what is going on. We are fast becoming like as it was in the days of Noah, and like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's only going to get worse and rapidly so. So I'm here today to really encourage you. Hold on to the Lord. You sang that in one of the courses a while ago. Stay strong in the Lord and don't do anything but get closer and closer. You know, Jesus tells us in the book of the Revelation that in the end of time, when God comes, returns to judge the nations, that and he's going to precede that with the rapture, taking the saints who are really on fire for God out of here. And he tells us that the state of the church at that time is going to be deplorable. Really, really no good. And I sense that description that he gives of the general church is not so here in this church, and I'm happy to see that. And I just encourage you in it. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time, even you young people and children, and older folks like Brother Pat and myself, when was the last time that you said, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come soon, Lord, and when you come, account me worthy"? Probably this morning, hopefully, you've already asked the Lord today. If it wasn't this morning, then surely yesterday. It wasn't yesterday? Well, last week. I'll leave that in your hands between you and the Lord. Jesus said on one occasion, this is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, and we'll only be there a moment, but I do want you to follow along as you please. We'll look at several different scriptures this morning. And I've got to take my watch off so I can watch my watch. Oh, there's one up there. That'll be easier to see. Jesus said in the 8th verse of the 18th chapter of Luke, he asked a question. And before we read it, I want you to think about this. He knew you and I were going to be here when he returns. And yet, even so, he asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You see, the world is in numbers far exceeds the numbers within the church. But he's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. Is he going to find faith on the earth when he comes? Now, if we go over into the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we'll spend some time in Matthew 24 and 25 here in the next few minutes. He made the statement and said, because iniquity shall abound, and it's doing that right now, horribly. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And let me just say, please don't let yourself become one of those. And yet it's an easy thing to do. We go to the latter part of that same chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 40, and I just want to pick up right there. Then shall two be in the field. Now, this is not talking about two people in the world. This is talking about two people in the church. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Did you happen to notice, did it click in your mind, that's 50%? Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. These are two people in each case working or living side by side. No doubt he's referring to people working within the church. The church that he said, I will build my church. I'm going to use you to do it. And two people working side by side. But when the rapture occurs, he's talking about one will be taken and one left. Not that he's going to pick and choose and say, well, every other one. He's going to choose those who are ready. That's why it's important that when I asked the question a while ago, when did you last ask the Lord to please come? That's at least an indication to him from out of your heart, you're anxious about it. You want to see it. If we go to back earlier in the, let's go to chapter 25. Just turn the page and you're there of Matthew. And go along about verse 14 where it begins. Jesus begins to tell a story of a man traveling into a far country. And before he went, he called his servants together and he gave to one 5 talents. Now in this particular case, these talents represent money. It could represent in your life actual talents or abilities or gifts that God has given to you. But he says he gave to one 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Now, I sometimes go to thinking, well, I'm a 1-talent person, but it doesn't matter. Whatever God has given to you is the big question. And he went away, and so the one that had received five went out and worked with it and made five more. The one that received two went out and worked with it, made two more. The one that, though, that had received one talent, said, it said that he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. That's the reason I'm saying these talents in this particular case represent money. And then, after a long time, the Lord, that Lord of these men, returned. And he came to them and to reckon with them. That's the word it uses in the King James. And he that had received five talents said, "Here, Lord, is your five talents and five more." And the Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Now, those are words you're going to want to hear one day. More than anything else. Nothing else is going to matter. The same thing occurred with the one who had received two talents. Now I'm kind of rushing over this because you've heard this story many times and read it many times. But the one that had received the one talent and had hid it, as you remember, he said, "I was afraid," and afraid? You know, the first time I ever got up to speak, I was horribly afraid. I remember it now. I was at Holmes Bible College of the Bible 55 years ago, this past Easter. I was shaking in my boots. And I didn't even have boots. If you went to Holmes, you probably didn't have boots either. But he said, "I was afraid." And I have pointed that afraid out just simply because I'm here to tell you there's no excuse. No excuse is acceptable. There are none. God has gifted you, and you're able to do whatever he sends you to do. So, being fearful is not acceptable, and neither is anything else. "I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth." Now, we're down at verse 25 by now. And he says, "Lo, there is that that is thine." It's like it's laying on the floor. Why doesn't he at least have it in his hands and say, "Here's your talent back"? But it's said that he went and digged in the earth and hid it. So it's laying there on the ground. There it is, God. I was afraid. The answer to that is, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." You see, it's wickedness, and there's a verse over in the book of the Revelation that supports this. Fearfulness, I should say, is wicked. And the verse in the Revelation tells us that the fearful will not enter heaven. So if you're fearful, get over it. He said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." And he went on and talked about it. And then he said, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. I want you to notice, even in this particular place, the Lord is not receiving that talent back to himself. He's passing it on to someone else. Since that guy's not going to use it, then give it to the man who does use it. God wants the things that he's given us to go on forever. "Forever unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to think about yourself today for the few minutes that we'll be here yet. Where do you stand with the Lord? Have you fallen into something like this one person who went and hid his talent? You know, I can look at a lot of people in my past and wonder, when are they ever going to go to work? They've been Christians for a long time. I don't have the answers, and I'm not here to judge people because I'm not their judge. But the Scripture teaches us, by their fruits you will know them. I want to go back to the early part of this chapter 25 of Matthew. And I want to look at the story called the Parable of the Ten Virgins. And I want you to find yourself here. You are here somewhere. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins." I want you to notice that they are all virgins, meaning they're all pure and godly. So we're not talking about the world. We're talking about God's people, which took their lamps. They all had lamps. And went forth to meet the bridegroom. They all went forth to meet the bridegroom. Here, up to this point, everything's the same. No differences. Have you found yourself yet? And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps. We've observed already they all had lamps. And they all had oil, because before we reach the end of the story, we know that they all of their lamps were burning. So they all had oil. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil, no extra oil, no supply of oil, so they could keep a constant light in their lamp and a continuing light in their lamp. They just went with their lamps, which were burning, had some oil in them. And I should pause here to tell you that I believe that this oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. I, at work in our lives, His anointing, His teaching, His guidance. I heard someone say a few days ago that this oil represents the Word of God. Now, you can go out and buy a Bible and take it home, lay it on the coffee table or up on the shelf, put it wherever you like, and it'll do you no good. You need to bury yourself in the Word of God. Fill your heart with it daily and live it. If you don't live it, you'd be better off not to read it, because you wouldn't be so responsible, held responsible. But let's assume that this oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And this being a church that believes in Pentecost and holiness, I want to encourage you, if you've never yet experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, seek God for that experience. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. That vessel is talking about a different vessel than the vessel of the lamp itself. They had the lamp that was lit, that had oil in it, and they had an extra vessel with extra oil so they could replenish when they needed to. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today. Replenish. Replenish. We've already observed where the Scripture teaches us that because of the abundance of sin, the love of many will wax cold. There'll be people right in the church, going to church every Sunday, and working in the church faithfully. They will lose their love, their fiery zeal for God. So verse 5 tells us, while the bridegroom tarried, you know the Lord's been tarrying now. When he was here on earth, he told us, I'm going away, but he said, I'm going to come back. He has tarried now for roughly 2,000 years. And the world, like the world back then and the world today, is saying, well, where is he? He hasn't come. He's not coming. That's not true. The Lord will come. And I want to just say, register this with you. I expect the Lord to come in my lifetime. I'm already an old man. But I believe the Lord will come in my lifetime. And I can't hold the Lord to that. If he wants me to go like he did my friend last Friday, then I'm ready to go. But I just feel that it's so near just by looking at the world around us and how wicked it is and how much like Noah and Lot's time that we've become. And God destroyed them. And he's coming soon to destroy this present world, to hold, at least to hold the nations in judgment. So, and I'm certainly not setting any dates. The Lord told us. We don't know, but he has told us you can tell it's near. And I believe it's near. So I'm encouraging you to live fervently for the Lord. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Well, some folks even do that in church. I don't see anybody right now, Brother Pat. They're all awake. But what that means, as far as I'm able to determine, is that they went on living their lives. They did go to bed at night and slept, get up the next morning and go to work, involved in whatever they're involved in. And hopefully as a Christian, they're involved in godly things. But they provide for their families. They go shopping. They do what they need to do to just live in this world. And that's what was happening. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose. You see, except for two or three things here, these virgins are all alike. They're all doing the same things, everything. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. You know, if you're old enough to have ever used a lamp and possibly use them here because of the electricity outage at times, they trimmed their lamps. You know what trimming a lamp is. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They all trimmed their lamps. But the foolish ones discovered when they went to trim those wicks and to turn them up or down according to what they needed and perhaps at that point pour in a supply of oil. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil. Now, I want to tell you, my understanding of the Word of God is, and what He tells us about these kinds of things, you can't have what I've got. I can't have what you've got. You go to God and get your supply. I go to God and get my supply. He has given me certain gifts. He's given you certain gifts. He's given me a certain calling. He's given you a certain calling. And let me just register with you. We talked about this for 5 days in Mozambique. Every person on earth has a calling and a gifting. So none of you are excluded. Everyone, the children, every person. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Gone out. Some versions say going out. This King James says gone out. Why didn't they notice that? Well, they were busy with living, and they didn't notice. Our lamps are gone out. Now here's a peculiar thing next. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you." I can't give you my oil. God's got plentiful supply for you if you go and ask for it. And if you're going to ever ask for it now. Don't wait. Don't wait until the Lord appears on the clouds and the shout has gone from Him and the archangel and the trumpet blast and all, saying, "Come up here." If you're out of oil at that point, you're just out of oil and you're in trouble. They said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Now, the only way that that makes any sense to me is that much of the church world nowadays is kind of hubba hubba. They're selling this and that and the other, and if you understand what I'm saying, I don't know of a church who has ever said, "Well, give me $5 or $100 and I'll see to it that you're saved." But just the way that plenty of churches operate, that's generally the idea of what's going on. There's so much in the church world today that's frivolous and actually ungodly. And that's why I'm so happy to see what I've seen here this morning. This thing is not for sale. It's free, but it's from God. It actually isn't from the church. You may be in the church when God gives it to you, but it's not the church giving it to you. It's God. And I have to ask this question. I'm assuming that at this point, the righteous ones, the wise ones, have gone. If not already, they're fixing to. So who are they going to go to? All of God's elite have just been taken out of here. Who are they going to go to buy? The world? Or the worldly church that remains? So while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You remember how when in Noah's time when he had built the ark, God said, "All right, put the animals in there and you go in there yourself." And he went in and he sat for 7 days. Don't you know that that was trying on Noah's patience, sitting there? Thinking, "Man, I have made a fool out of myself." That's what the devil was telling him. But God shut the door. And nobody was going to go out or come in. And that same thing is going to occur with what we're talking about here. They were ready, went in him with him to the marriage. That's going to be a wonderful time. And I don't know that we understand everything about the marriage of God's people to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think we can understand the principle or the idea of it. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins. The other? Yeah, the foolish ones. Who went to buy what they needed, buy from the world or the worldly church, what they needed to have received from God earlier. And I just want to tell you, earlier is right now. This morning. Afterward came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. So what they went and bought and came back hoping to go wasn't what they needed. And I want to remind you what I just said. What you need to do is now. And what you need to do is from God. And it's available at a simple request. Lord, I believe in you. I trust you. I look to you. I'm ready to serve you. I want to be faithful. I want to be obedient. I want to be what you'd have me to be. What you created me to be. So gift me, Lord, with the power and anointing and working of the Holy Spirit. That story is concluded by saying, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And he talks about back in the 24th chapter of Matthew about in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Peter tells us, as we're also told in the book of Genesis, that there were 8 souls saved in Noah's time. I think here too about Lot and God had decided that Sodom and Gomorrah were so ungodly, so filthy, so sinful, that he was going to destroy them. So he sent 2 angels to destroy those cities. But Lot was there with Lot's family. And the scripture teaches us that when those angels came, they said, told Lot what was going on, and they said, get your family and get out of here. And so I want to draw to your attention, Lot went to his sons-in-law. They had married some of his daughters. He had 2 more daughters at home. And he told them, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Now listen to what it says. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Here, the people of God are telling the world. This gospel has gone around this world many times over. And whatever's going on, like in a place like China now, they tell me there are lots of Christians there, but China had a great revival going on back in the 1800s. They turned away from God. Apparently some did, at least. Most, perhaps. But it seems we can't talk loud enough to be heard. It seems they block their ears. They don't want to hear. But we need to keep on telling them. The Scripture says, and I don't want to take hardly any time here. Our time is running out. And the men took hold of his hand. That's God getting Lot by the hand. And his wife's hand. And the hands of his two daughters. God literally took hold of them by their hand and dragged them out of the city. There are Christian people in this world just about like that. If they make it, it's going to be because God grabbed them and drug them out. They brought them out of mercy and brought them outside the city and said, "Flee to the mountains. Get out of here. Flee to the mountains." Well, here is, I'm going to say, stupid Lot. Lingering and saying, "Well, now just a minute. How about that little city right over there? It's just a small one. It don't amount to much. Let me go there." Here he is, the Lord is telling him through these angels that he's going to destroy the place. Get out. And he's arguing with it. The New Testament teaches us that Lot was a righteous man. But he, right about now, he was struggling with whatever. And there are Christian people in this present world struggling. They're in business, or they're doing this, or that, or something else. They want to get this done. It's an aim in their life. It's on their bucket list. They want to do it. The Lord, remarkably, the Lord said, "Okay, I'll spare that one little place." Now, they took off and went running. Verse 26 of that chapter says, "But his wife looked back behind him." And the Lord had told him, "Don't look back." Lot's wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, why did God turn her into a pillar of salt? I don't know. Probably the only time it's ever happened. But he did, because Jesus recognized it. He said in the book Luke chapter 17, "Remember Lot's wife." What is he saying to us about that looking back? You've decided to live for God. I hope so. If you haven't, today's the day you ought to do that. You've decided to live for God. Make your choice. Choose to live for Him. And if you have, some of you probably 50 years ago or more or less made that decision. Don't go back to the world. Don't go looking back at things in the past. The devil will tempt you with all kinds of things. Don't go back there. "Remember Lot's wife," and he said then, "whosoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life will preserve it." So you decide what you'll do. Live your life for God, or do you want to keep your life for yourself? And there are many, many, many people doing that. I want to read finally one verse more, actually three verses. In the book of Luke chapter 21, this is a chapter much like Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Jesus said, "But take heed to yourselves." And that's what I say to you this morning. I'll let Jesus say it to you by reading it. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing." Well, carousing don't sound very good. Sounds kind of evil. Drunkenness. That sounds kind of evil too. And cares of this life. Cares of this life? Well, that's not evil. Well, it doesn't have to be. It can be. But you can get so involved in just taking care of your needs, your family, your job, the cares of this life, whatever that is to you. And that day come on upon you unexpectedly. You can get lost in just living in this world, not meaning to be an evil individual. For it will come as a snare on all those, a snare, a trap, on all those that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. What was that? Watch therefore and pray always. Oh, that's that question I asked you at the beginning. When was the last time you asked the Lord? Lord, would you come today? I want to encourage you right now. Every day, several times every day, ask the Lord, please come soon. And please account me worthy. Well, it's not going to do any good for you to ask Him to account you worthy if you don't live worthily. So live worthily and pray that prayer. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, we talked early on about how wicked the world has become and how rapid it has picked up speed and it's just going in a frenzy. Can you imagine when the real godly elite Christians are going to be taken out of here and their influence is gone and the Holy Spirit steps back? Now, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit's actually going to leave this world, but He's going to step back and let the Antichrist come in and do His thing. Now, the Holy Spirit has stepped back, and the godly people have been taken away in the rapture. Can you imagine how vile it's going to get and how rapidly it's going to go at that point? You don't want to be here. I want to conclude with that, and I want to ask of you if you need to make a renewed committal or a committal of any sort here today. Lord, I want to be ready. I want whatever it takes in my life to get me ready. If you want to, I want to pray. And if you want to, you come and kneel here. And if any come, and I'd ask the prayer team to come and pray with anyone who might choose to come. Father, we come to you today. We're so thankful for you, for your word, for your promises, for your grace, for all the gifting, all the blessing in our lives, the anointing in our lives, the fact that you told us you're returning, you're coming back. You went away, but you said you'll return and you'll come for us. And the Apostle Paul told us clearly how it will happen, followed then by what we call the tribulation and the judgment of the nations. We just ask of you, Lord, to anoint our hearts and lives, that we would not fall into that snare like the Word of God tells us, because sin will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Help us to never fail and fall. Help us to be ready. Help us to call on your name daily, several times, every day. Anoint and bless us, we pray in the name of Jesus. And we ask of you even now, Lord Jesus, please come. And when you come, account us worthy and help us to live worthily. In the name of the Lord we pray. Amen. I trust that you're all ready. I'll turn the service back to Brother Pat. Thank you so much.